There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 659, July 22nd, 2014. Nasser?
This combined edition of British and German Grand Prix is brought to you by Wrigley's Double Mint. Double the pleasure. Back to you, sir, the Duke of Dijon.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, on this double podcast, it's a double out for Massa. Fernando jumps on the Ricciardo promo wagon. Rosberg signs a new multi-year contract with Mercedes for 55 million euros. And nothing for Lewis Hamilton. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi. We have Tech Talk with Tim and 50 words from the F1Weekly.com forum members on the latest Grand Prix. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. How was the trip to FLA to see Mama?
Mama was good. I had to go see Mama, and Mama is hanging in there at 86. She can't remember anything, but when I talk about the Germans, she remembers everything.
Whoa, did you get a chance to try the redneck burger in Florida?
I did. Delectable with a PBR.
Wow. Any more trips to the Earnhardt Chevrolet dealership?
No, I decided to stay at my mom's house. I did very little. And when you're at my mother's house, there's no internet, but we do have cable TV. It was great. We watched the World Cup finale together and had a great time.
Yeah, it was a great game, I must say.
That was a great game. So, Nasser, I want to go ahead and apologize to all the listeners for missing out on covering the British Grand Prix right after the race. I've been lackadaisical due to my obligation to La Familia, so there you have it.
Yes, you're a good family man, sir.
I am. Anyway, wow, we've got two Grand Prix to cover. We're going to cover them quickly, but thoroughly, Nasser. And of course, we'll go right to the UK for Silverstone.
Oh, dear.
And that was, well, Silverstone is a classic. You know, it's a great, I love the place, and I've never been there, so... You know, one of these days, that's on my bucket list. What a great qualifying, but not so good for Ferrari. What happened?
I don't know, man. This was actually the first time that Alonso missed Q2 since the 2010 Monaco Grand Prix. And I have been to Silverstone once with Peter Brazier, and once with Dr. Farrington. It is a mighty, mighty fine place. And of course, the birthplace of Formula One World Championship Grand Prix Motor Racing.
Well, you were just hinting at the fact that we will be giving Peter Brazier his honorary degree very soon.
Very true.
Thank you.
Now, you remember his thesis is all the things wrong with Lewis Hamilton.
I understand. Which is fine. There's a lot of things wrong with everybody, including moi.
Now, and when he gets his double doctorate, which he's very well qualified for, that will be on all the things right with Jenson Button.
Well, maybe by then Jenson Button will have retired, because I don't think he's going to be at McLaren next year.
Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. And you mentioned at the top of the podcast about a new contract for Pretty Boy Floyd. You know, there's a lot of chit-chat going around about Button's future.
There is a lot of chit-chat about Button's future. There's a lot of chit-chat about Fernando's future. There's a lot of chit-chat about Lewis Hamilton's future. That's what we do in Formula One. We try to guess what's really going on. but it's such a hard thing to do. But what's really shocking, I mean, of all the news about drivers, is your friend and my mentor, El Crashado, is in for 2015.
Yes, the check cleared from PDVSA.
Yep, it's amazing what a little cash will do.
Yes, when Barclays Bank called Gerard Lopez.
Okay, I thought it was E.F. Hutton.
Well, whoever it was, he was like freeze frame for 5 minutes.
Thank you. No, it's very goofy stuff out there, but I was really surprised that they announced that. I called it a psychological blow to Lewis Hamilton in signing Nico Rosberg for 3 years, 55 million euros. That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're paying him a pretty penny too.
Absolutely. No, there's no doubt. Former world champion. He's definitely deserved of a high salary. But still, the infighting at Mercedes has to be laughed and looked at.
You know, I had really concerns that Lewis, you know, if he's not on the front row, there's always quite a bit of argy-bargy that goes on with him anyway. Very impressive. We'll talk about the German race later, but the championship is far from over. It's not a, it's a one-horse race for the constructors, but as far as the drivers are concerned, I think this is far from over, Clark.
Oh, and I completely agree. And that's the big crux of the situation because of the double points in Abu Dhabi that could spoil everything for one or the other.
Yeah, and there are already people saying that, you know, this should be stopped. And I think it's BS to have double points. So let's see what happens.
I agree. So anyway, can you sort of go over our wonderful rainy, yet it started drying out towards the end qualifying for Silverstone, because that really made it exciting. And I thought it was strange how some people missed it. It looked like maybe we had a Bottas on pole. It was exciting.
Yeah, that, you know, well, for me, the big shocker was Maldonado getting excluded from qualifying. Woo!
Wow.
It's hard.
I know. Well, that's because he was still drunk from finding out that he'll be at Lotus Mercedes next season.
Yeah. And this call they made for Lewis, I don't know if it was the team call or the driver's call or whatever, that was very, very strange.
And I agree. And I know they share a strategist at Mercedes. I know Lewis has had some issues with their strategy. And sometimes I have to admit that I think some of the strategy at Mercedes tends to lean towards the German guy.
I'm not sold on that right now.
My job is to stir the hive of busy, happy bees.
You are the French resistance, right?
Correct. I've got to keep excitement going. And I want to see excitement. I want to see people beating up each other. I want to see fighting.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you something. Talking of fighting, if there is a situation, which I'm sure we'll have a Mercedes 1-2 in qualifying, and if these two youths take each other out, I can see Bottas getting his first Grand Prix win.
I see Bottas now very hungry for that first Grand Prix win. I see Bottas now getting on the lists of some of the top teams if something goes strangely wrong at either Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren. It's going to be very interesting. Don't forget, McLaren and Finnish drivers go hand in hand.
Yes, and I think he would be a very good mix at McLaren because they have a young driver, Kevin Magnussen, who's pretty intense and very good. But if you ever meet Bottas, I don't know if you ever met him. I've met him in his F3 days and also in January. The kid is so cool and so friendly. I mean, he was talking to just any fans who would walk up to him. I was very, very impressed. I mean, normally people do change when they reach Formula Uno.
I changed.
Oh, how can you change? I mean, you've been perfect from the day I met you, Clark.
That's very, very true. Keep up the good work, Nasser. But no, there's a lot of interesting things, and Bottas has been unbelievably impressive. I mean, he has taken over from where Magnussen impressed in Australia and then started falling off the wayside. And Bottas has filled that void for us fans.
Very well said.
And he's really kept it up at every race. And he's out-qualified his teammate. Felipe Massa is what you call in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, and Massa has a lot of experience. So this performance by Valtteri Bottas in the last few races is just giving him a serious, seal of approval from top teams.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I feel sorry for Felipe Massa for having all the bad karma, as we call it here at F1 Weekly, but still, it's bizarro land. I was also impressed with both of these Grand Prix, because once again, Fernando, and he does it at every race, and just impresses on how hard he tries and some of the fights he's had with Vettel in the UK Grand Prix. And then, of course, he repeated that fight with Ricciardo in Germany, which was very impressive.
Oh, yeah. The British battle was fantastic. I mean, the guys, I mean, we've said it many, many times, just incredible. I wonder how many races he would have won if he was in the Red Bull last year. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Then I'd be wearing my Fernando Red Bull shirt right now.
Just when you see those that kind of fight, there's only one standard for that kind of battle, and that 1979, you know where.
He's off. He's back again.
Yeah, incredible.
Yes, it is incredible, and you must love it.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's go through this qualifying. Now, who was out in Q1?
Oh, you know, it's been so long.
It has been long, but I know one thing. It was two Ferrari drivers.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Yeah.
And poor Kimi, he just continues to have bad luck with Felipe Massa. And, you know, now that he's said that he's going to retire in 2015, you really do have to question this guy's motivation, even though I think he's doing the best he can. And now Ferrari's come out and said, we love you, we support you, we want you, we need you.
Now, I read it in such a way that this might be a way of saying, look, can you leave us 1 year before without us paying you?
That's what I was thinking, because we know Montezemolo, he gets bored really fast. He gets frustrated really fast. He simply doesn't watch television anymore. There's no way Kimi Raikkonen is going to be driving for Ferrari next year. There's just too much good stuff. And with Bianchi doing the Silverstone test after the Silverstone race and impressed, topped the timesheets for the period of time he was there, there's just too much talent. Young guns, they've got to realize you can't go with two old geezers in the garage. They've got to bring in some young blood in there that's really hungry. Someone, guess, let me see, Ricciardo?
Well, Ricciardo is at Ferrari, I mean Red Bull, so he's not going. But I think, you know, people they can pluck out of their existing contracts could be Valtteri Bottas. Bianchi would be a good fit. He already has a couple of seasons under his belt now. And Nico Hülkenberg, you know, somebody needs to give that guy a good seat.
I agree. And it's strange because we've talked about Nico Hülkenberg for years and yet still no cigar.
Yes.
I mean, I'm still stunned that, well, I mean, I there's not much to mention when it comes to Sauber, but people like Gutierrez, Sutil, this is their last season. I hate to say it, but it's true.
No, you know, I'm so disappointed that things have not worked out for Esteban Gutierrez. I got to tell you, you know, him, Romain Grosjean, Nico Hülkenberg, these people are very talented kids. When the championships that were won by Gutierrez were against some very good drivers, including people like Robert Wickens, Alexander Rossi. So he's no slouch, but, you know, if you look at him at Sauber, yes, he does not have the car, and in his rookie season, he also had the fastest lap at one of the races. But he really needs to use a motor racing language. He really needs to destroy Adrian Sutil, who is no Lewis Hamilton, but he's still a very quick driver. And if you cannot blow him away, then it becomes very hard to be picked up by a Scuderia Ferrari or a team in Woking, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Now, let me go back to Q1 in the British Grand Prix, because what was interesting is both Fernando Alonso and Kimi Raikkonen are out. Valtteri Bottas, the talk of the town, and his brethren Felipe Massa are out. Kobayashi is out. So this means that we've got two Marussias in Q2. They were so stunned. They thought it was, you know, Monaco again. I mean, I was so happy for them. It was just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was very impressive. And of course, you know, one of the drivers, Max Chilton, is British. His brother also races, and I believe he's in British Touring Cars. So it was good to see them get their 15 minutes of fame.
It was. I thought it was exciting. I was really happy for them. And I figured, you know, Fernando will do the best he can. And we know Valtteri Bottas does an outstanding job in this race. Now, let's talk about who was on pole. What a surprise. Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel, right along his side. And I thought Jenson Button in P3 was phenomenal because Jenson Button has such bad luck in the British Grand Prix. We've got Nico Hülkenberg, we've just spoken about, doing an outstanding job for Force India. Magnussen in the second, McLaren in fifth, Lewis Hamilton in sixth because of that bizarre strategy called when he slowed down at the point where he should have been putting in a fast lap. Sergio Perez in seventh, Daniel Ricciardo of Red Bull in eighth, and the two Toro Rossos, 9 and 10. No, Toro Rosso continues to impress all season.
Yes, you know, the guy who's really impressing is their number two, Mr. Daniel Kvyat.
Very impressive, especially for being, I believe he's still only 19 years old.
Yeah, something like that. He's a rookie, and, you know, his teammate is very good. I mean, Jean-Éric Vergne has very impressive credentials, as you and I both know, and to go against him and put in the performances he's doing race by race, I think this guy is securing a ride for him himself, not just at Red Bull, but other teams too.
It's very possible, depending on what happens on the grid next year. It's going to be interesting where some of these drivers wind up. I think Daniel Ricciardo will be pushed to go to a top team next season, even though Renault has promised Red Bull that things will be more cozier next year. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of strange stuff that's going to happen at the end of this season in terms of driver movement.
You know, I think Ricciardo will be at Red Bull. I think the guy who's most likely to lose his seat is Jean-Éric Vergne, because, you know, Dr. Marco is, they got so many drivers coming through the system. Carlos Sainz is doing very well. He could replace him. And I'm also concerned about Esteban Gutierrez, especially if there is some issues with his sponsorship, which comes in from Telmex.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, we've got Max Verstappen, who's dominating in F3. So we have a lot of interesting talent.
Yeah, and you know, this
moving
is
moving very close to Formula One.
Yeah, and this Italian-speaking Swiss, who is now being promoted as Italian, just like Romain Grosjean became French. Rafael Marcello, he is now really picking up steam in GP2, and I will not be surprised if Ferrari places him in a smaller team like Marussia or whatever, but there is a lot of talent coming through the system.
Absolutely. I think it's exciting, and I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to be gone. You know, people like Adrian Sutil, Kobayashi, those people are on their final leg. I don't know, Caterham is going through a reshuffle. They've fired a lot of people, and the drivers, I think, will be gone as well. We'll see what happens there. But anyway, let's go to race day.
Okay.
We had beautiful weather. There was a threat of rain, but it really never materialized. And, of course, I mean, you know, the biggest thing about this Grand Prix is after lap two, we have a huge shunt by Kimi Raikkonen. And I really thought that Kimi Raikkonen was reckless. Going wide, going off track wide, and hitting that hump, breaking his suspension, losing complete control, and of course, taking out Felipe Massa.
Yeah, you know, it was very scary, and his accident was measured at 47G, and driver must visit the medical center if the impact is measured at 25G or more. So quite a lucky escape for Kimi. But, you know, I mean, he normally does not make a lot of mistakes. And this reminded me, remember the time when Montoya ran over a manhole cover in Shanghai?
Oh, yeah.
So, well, these things happen. But, you know, it was pretty scary. And it's good to see he's not hurt. That's very important.
No, he did look shaken up when he was getting out of the car. For a moment there, he was limping, and it was frightening. So we have a red flag. That means everybody goes back to the grid, and one of the Marussias forgets that you have to go directly to the grid. took the pit lane when the pit lane was closed. I think that was Max Schultz.
Yeah, these small screw-ups will happen every now and then.
I know. I just find, I like pointing them out. It's just the way I get my thrills.
Uh-huh. Kick him on the up, kick him on the down.
Exactly. No, but it took a long time to get this thing fixed. A lot of people complained that it took too long. It was over an hour to fix the guardrail. Niki Lauda was not happy about that. And when Nikki's not happy, there's a lot of cussing involved.
No, you know, these things, guardrails, these can be very dangerous if they are not installed properly. I can recall several fatal accidents in not just Formula One, but also Junior Series. So, you know, safety is important.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. Anyway, once again, we do have a great restart. I was very impressed with Nico Rosberg. I mean, he was flying. I mean, he really, really, really had a great restart. Everybody else had a great restart. Valtteri Bottas was moving up.
You know, Lewis said this, Nico Rosberg, his father, whose career I followed very closely, his father was a real hustler, you know, like Gilles Villeneuve and Nigel Mansell. And the son is just the opposite. You know, Nico reminds me of like Alain Prost and Niki Lauda. Very methodical, very disciplined. There's not much hoopla going around, you know, when he comes to the track. So he'll be a very good world champion if he can pull it off.
Yeah, no. Nico is very serious. You know, he doesn't wear any earrings. He wears a regular hat instead of the flat brim. He's very serious, you know, and he's beginning to remind me of his father a little bit.
Yeah, well, he looks like him, and he speaks like four or five languages fluently, so he'll be a very good ambassador for motor racing.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe he'll be head of the FIA one day.
Great.
Yeah, we need more good people there, you know. But no, I enjoyed this Grand Prix, especially the fight between Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel. It was good, except there was a lot of crying, a lot of whining. And I think Niki Lauda made a good point. Do we need these pits to car communications? For some reason, it seems to, you know, maybe we should let the drivers make decisions on their own. You know, the old way, the vintage way. I think Niki Lauda is starting to make some good points.
Yeah, but, you know, things do change and technology is what it is. And I don't think we're going to turn the clock back. I mean, what he should really be complaining about is the sound. That's what I'm missing, Lars.
I know, but you know what? We have to accept the sound. The sound's going to be this way. I think it'll be a little bit louder next year. But it's funny because now the GP2 cars are louder. The vintage race cars that come along with some of these shows, and they had some great ones in Silverstone. I mean, from Matra. I mean, when you got a Matra, you're going to hear some great sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the vintages and some of the support races are now louder than Formula One. As a matter of fact, I saw there's a corporate, a lot of corporations are getting ready to go to the Austin Grand Prix, and they have packages for the employees. And in one of those packages, I'm not going to say what the company was or who it was, but it mentions that they also provide free earplugs. And I mentioned to the folk that are going on this package, I told them, you will not need the free earplugs this season.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're very sensitive. Some people are very sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't mean to wander aimlessly there.
Well, they should go to a golf tournament then.
Yes. The golf carts can...
Oh, excuse me. Formula E is coming to a town near you.
I know. Aren't you excited?
Oh, yeah. I'm booking my flight to Buenos Aires and Montevideo. They will be...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard they're only allowing gliders to land close to the airfield.
So the Bernie of Formula E will come in a glider?
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Isn't it? It's going to be a quiet weekend.
Yes.
A lot of relaxing.
There you go.
Yeah. But think about all the animals and the birds that will not be disturbed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So you've got to think about the other side of the coin, Nasser.
Talking of animals, some years ago when they were planning some major expansion at Sears Point, one of the things was that there are in the marshes, red frogs, and they normally like to take a siesta around 2 p.m.
Well, obviously those frogs, we have a lot of Mexican heritage in California, Nasser, and that's called siesta.
Yes.
And okay.
Yes. If only mankind had so much concern for fellow mankind, I think it will be a much peaceful world.
Terrific. Let's get back to the British Grand Prix before I start dozing off.
There you go.
Yeah, this is starting to sound like, how should I say it? F1 Weekly e-cast?
Okay, let's get some sound. Let's get some roaring sound from Lewis Hamilton. And
yes. So, of course, what goes around comes around. Now, I'm really impressed with Daniel Ricciardo, Valtteri Bottas. They do an outstanding job in this Grand Prix. Fernando Alonso finishes sixth. Start. Don't forget, he didn't get out of Q1. And people like Pastor Maldonado just do what they're supposed to do. Cause trouble.
At least he's very predictable.
Yes, he's very predictable. Once again, the karma is switched. Nico Rosberg has a gearbox problem, they called it. I'm not sure what it was. But nevertheless, he begins to slow, and Lewis Hamilton begins to reap the rewards. He, you know, don't forget that Nigel Mansell had a nice little chat with Lewis. Did you see that?
Yes.
You know, he embraced Lewis and told him to keep a stiff upper lip.
Right. And, you know, this had to happen. You know, Lewis is not going to have all the bad luck or technical gremlins.
Of course.
And I also think that one of these races, you know, we're going to have a situation where probably Mercedes is 1-2 and there will be some sort of a late race rain and we'll have a surprise winner. And I still think, you know, when it's down to last four or five races, they're going to get on the Olivia Newton-John program. Let's get physical.
Well, let me tell you, before Olivia Newton-John comes on, Lewis Hamilton is a bit of a prankster, and nobody's talked about this, but Lewis Hamilton busted out the big guns. Now, don't forget, Nico Rosberg is German. Lewis is British. So what does he do? He snuck in to Nico Rosberg's room and started playing Winston Churchill's speech.
Wow.
Yeah, the almighty, the Brit of all Brits, saying that we will win, never give up. So there you have it.
But I think, you know, I have to say, you know, if you can, just like Button, you know, if you can run with Lewis, you're doing a tremendous job. Nico not melting when Lewis went four in a row, that tells me that this kid knows he can win this championship. And he may win the championship. Right now it's very open.
Yes, no, absolutely. And that's what's so exciting with Lewis winning this Grand Prix, Nico not getting any points. It was very impressive. Once again, we've got a great championship that's going to go down to the wire. It could go down to the wire maybe in the United States or Abu Dhabi, but it's going to be great. And the only thing I have missed is we're not getting the wheel-to-wheel battle between Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg that we got in Bahrain.
Yes, it's going to happen. You know,
I'm hoping it happens. I mean, we're halfway through the season. We're almost into the summer break. Lately, it's been either one is ahead and winning and one's starting from the back or something bizarre has happened. One breaks. I want to see more wheel-to-wheel, both of those guys right up front fighting and crashing and letting Valtteri Bottas win.
Yeah, that would be very nice.
It would be very nice. But anyway, a great Grand Prix for Lewis Hamilton in front of his people. He knew that Nigel Mansell, Winston Churchill, all his mentors really helped him. And he did an outstanding job. Valtteri Bottas finishing second was outstanding while Felipe Massa is sitting in the loo. Unbelievable. Daniel Ricciardo on the podium. Outstanding job, once again, ahead of Vettel. And Button, fourth, very good for him. Fernando, sixth, like I said earlier. Magnussen, seventh. Hülkenberg, eighth. Daniel Kvyat, ninth. And Jean-Éric Vergne in tenth. So it was a good Grand Prix.
Okay, sir, I put some notes here. May I proceed? Well, you know, JB was unlucky to miss the podium. I really wanted to see him there. He had his helmet painted in pink in memory of his father, John.
You know? And that was, I thought that was great. Members of all the fans, a lot of fans wore pink. Great tribute to his father.
Yes. And JB is now third in the list of most experienced drivers behind Rubinho and Schumi. And that says a lot for his talent. You know, just to get in Formula One is a big deal. And if you can stay there for many years, it is obviously very, very impressive. Fastest lap of the race was recorded by your favorite Lewis, Carl Hamilton, 137.176 on lap 26. And this was fifth win of the season and 27th of the career for Lewis, matching the achievement of Sir Jackie Stewart. And the victory came exactly 6 years to the day from his victory in the rain at Silverstone in 2008. I'm sure you remember that race.
Yeah, fantastic.
After winning, Lewis said, "I don't want to see a teammate fail. I want a 1-2, but I really needed this result," end of quote. And which is so, so true. He really needed a real strong finish. And it was very nice after the British Grand Prix. There was not much point difference between the two. But, pendulum has again swung to the German side. But we shall see how it goes in Hungary. Okay, Bottas, the media and people-friendly Finn, was second and is taking his claim as a future world champion. It was back in his junior days that he beat the man who was also on the podium in their Formula Renault days, Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. Bottas also took the GP3 title in his first season. And I think I've mentioned this before, one of his early backers, and I think even now, is Mr. Toto Wolff. And talking of Toto Wolff, you haven't mentioned anything about Mrs. Wolff, you know, doing some rounds in the Grand Prix circuit and hoping to become a Formula One driver one of these days. What do you think?
I think it's possible. He's got my full support.
Yeah, Toto is telling anyone who will listen, especially Niki Lauda, that Susie can put on some real hot laps and remains to be seen on the track.
Well, her car broke down.
Oh, damn.
I know, but she sure looked good in it, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. And she has a pretty interesting interview on one of the BBC, sorry to say this, podcast, but if anybody's interested, it's an in-depth conversation with her, and it's pretty interesting. Okay, Daniel Ricciardo, of course, has been a title contender in every series he has competed, and his performance against a four-time world champion in the same team has been way beyond expectation. The way things are going, he may be the only Mercedes winner this year, but of course, a lot of racing to go. Okay, now we already talked about Lewis and his future at McLaren. Personally, Clark, I cannot imagine Nando back invoking the image of Ron Dennis at the Hungaroring pit wall in 2007 is still Del Monte fresh in my mind, and I just cannot see that can of worms opening again. But stranger things have happened in life and in Formula One. Do you think Nando will really be back in McLaren?
It depends. I think Nando wants another two or three championships, and it ain't going to happen at Ferrari. So he has to be serious. Also, let's face it. If Honda approaches Fernando Alonso first, and then Honda speaks with Ron Dennis, anything is possible.
Yeah, and a couple of very veteran motorsports journalists have told me that more than one occasion that it is Honda's requirement that McLaren has a top driver, and their choice right now is Fernando Alonso. But let's see what happens. Okay, moving forward to Sebastian Vettel. Bastian was fifth at Silverstone, but must be wondering, where did the mojo go for five in a row? He is winless, and his Australian teammate is a race winner this season. Must be serious sauerkraut for him. I think this is the guy who will look good at McLaren in 2015 and Honda.
Very possible. I can see he looks good already thinking about it in a McLaren. McLaren's going to have a totally different look next year. It's going to be very, very interesting. I think the chrome reflective bodywork will be gone. And we're going back to a serious McLaren, and Honda are serious people. They could be quick right out of the box.
Yeah, and I can see this car being painted white with some sort of shades of red, you know, as the Japanese cars have been because of their flag. But I'm looking forward. I'm a big Honda fan. You know, Senna's three championships came with that mark, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, so am I.
Okay, Nando was sixth. The man has been magic at Maranello, especially when compared to his teammates. If stars had aligned properly for him at McLaren and Ferrari in a few races, he could be in the same league today in terms of championships as Fangio and Schumacher. He has finished every lap of the Formula One season so far, very quick and very reliable. Maybe a little political animal, but nobody's perfect apart from you, of course.
Of course.
K-Mag, Kevin Magnussen is a star of the future to be hired as a driver on strong recommendation by the technical and engineering side of a top Formula One team says a lot about this young man. He was very impressive in British F3 and won the World Series by Renault Championship last year. And it's amazing, Clark, what the way life goes in motor racing goes. Kevin Magnussen won the championship in his second year, where his biggest rival was Stoffel Van Dorn, who was a rookie last year in World Series by Renault. Kevin Magnussen was nowhere to be found in his rookie season of World Series by Renault, when the championship with guys like Jules Bianchi, Sam Bird, and many other big names, experienced names, that championship was won by Robin Friens in his rookie year. So it's amazing how motor racing takes its course. Nico Hülkenberg, the Hulk, like Romain Grosjean, is one of the few drivers who won every championship on the way to Formula One. The man needs to be in a competitive car next season. Teammate to Kevin at McLaren would be two young tigers in a cage, and a seat at Ferrari may be out of reach as they have their sights set on Jules Bianchi. And you know, we've been following Jules Bianchi's career very closely for many years. After Rosberg's retirement at Silverstone, Hülkenberg is the only driver to have a point scoring finish this season so far. So he's quick and reliable, kind of like Nando, so which is always a good thing to be compared to. Okay, let's take a look here now on the situation from Russia with Love. The Daniel Kvyat, the Russian rocket, may put Jean-Eric I out of F1 orbit at the end of the season. The man from Ufa has been a Red Bull charge from his early days in Formula BMW when he was racing against Carlos Sainz Jr. And actually, Carlos Sainz Jr. was looking to go to Formula One this year, but Kvyat has done a good job last year winning the GP3 championship. So Kvyat is a keeper for Dr. Marco right now and should have a long and strong career at the top tier. He was ninth in the British Grand Prix ahead of his teammate Jev. And when with the Russian Grand Prix coming up, I think him doing so well this year, it's going to make Formula One very popular in Sovietika, Russia, whatever they want to call that place these days.
I call it the Soviet Union. I think that's coming back.
Yeah, I think so. And Jean-Eric I was 10th and the first driver to finish a lap down. Jean-Eric is very fast, as he demonstrated in winning the British F3 in his rookie season, and also by his performance in World Series by Renault, where he was a title contender till he banged wheels with Robert Wickens, who went on to win the world champion. You know, if somebody was to come to me and say, hey, who do you think should be in Formula One in terms of who is not there and very talented, I think, you know, Robert Wickens would be my recommendation. The kid is very, very quick from Toronto. Well, let's take a look at Nico and LCS situation. When all is said and done, Brittany is a big boy now with big kahunas. He is doing, this is just my personal observation and opinion, he's doing to LCH what LCH did to FA in 2007. Rosberg has given the opportunity to Lewis to realize winning races and championship is not his birthright. Nico may have finished blood, but he ain't no Heikki Kovalainen. Most drivers will suffer a Chernobyl-style meltdown if their teammate wins four races in a row. Rosberg kept his cool, did not point fingers, and even in the Grand Prix Battle of Britain, this young German is flying high. I'm really beginning to like this kid as a race car driver. I mean, I remember, and we've said this many times, he did not do much against Mark Webber at Williams. The car was not quick. He was fairly new. But right now, to win races against Lewis Hamilton in the same team, it's major attachments, as they say.
Exactly. Titanium attachments, Nasser. And what's really impressive is, I like to see and watch is when you have a good driver and a good package.
When he has a good teammate, then it's even better.
Exactly. So we've got two great drivers and a fantastic package. Obviously, this is a Mercedes championship. all the way. But it's going to be interesting how things go on. And as a matter of fact, the next Grand Prix being in Hungary this weekend, that is going to be interesting for three drivers. Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton, and of course, all eyes are on Felipe Massa now. So anyway, that's my tip of the week. Let's hope Felipe gets at least three laps.
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
The interesting thing about Felipe Massa, there's big sponsorship at Williams from Petrobras, and their reserve driver is Felipe Nasr. And I'll be surprised if they drop Felipe Massa. I'll be surprised.
I don't think they will. I think Felipe Massa is there. Especially him and Rob Schmedley are like, you know, two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
So, no, it's going to be interesting.
Okay, we shall start with our favorite, Habidos. First win for Kiwi, Mitch Evans. Smart drive to keep championship leader Julian Palmer in second place. Second race of the weekend saw third win of the season for Felipe Nasr, who led the race from start to finish, and it was a very impressive drive. So good going to Cousin. Very, very proud of him. Okay, Hapetres, GP3 at Silverstone. Jimmy Eriksson held off the charge of GP3 points leader. Alex Lynn to score his maiden victory in the series at Silverstone on Saturday afternoon. Richie Stanaway from New Zealand won the second race on Sunday. And Richie Stanaway is a kid from New Zealand, Clark. He was really on his way, on fire like Max Verstappen these days. And then he had a pretty big accident, was hurt very badly. And I'm very happy that he is back in single-seater racing. Lately, he's been doing some Porsche Cup and tin-top racing. So good for him. F3 Masters at Zandvoort. This is, again, a very popular event, kind of like the Macau race. Max on pole at Zandvoort. Max Verstappen dominated the race to emulate the 1993 success of Father Jos in the Formula 3 Invitational event. And he led the race from start to finish, and his motor parked the Lada Volkswagen F308 to claim victory by just over 6 seconds over the Van Amersfoort driver, Jules Szymkowiak, or something like that. So we always apologize if we butcher somebody's name. Now, this was very interesting. IndyCar racing, Monty on pole in Pennsylvania. He also took pole at this tri-oval back in his NASCAR glory days. The 38-year-old percolated Colombian won the race at an average speed of over 200 miles per hour, making it the fastest 500-mile race in IndyCar racing. Previous record was 197.995 miles per hour, set by Jimmy Vassar at California Speedway in Fontana, which is not too far from Riverside and east of L.A. There you have it, sir.
That was exciting for Montoya.
Yeah, and you know, I think we need a break. I need some Vittel water right now.
And we'll be back with the German Grand Prix.
Attention, Formula One fans. How would you like to have access to an all-inclusive, USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One Momento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.F1FanAdvisor.com to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds, and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.F1FanAdvisor.com now.
Welcome back, Nasser. Okay, now let's talk about the German Grand Prix. Of course, qualifying, pretty much the usual stuff.
Business as usual on the front row.
Absolutely. And for once, we have a normal Q1, Adrian Sutil, Jules Bianchi in the Marussia, Pastor Maldonado, Max Chilton, Kamui Kobayashi, and Marcus Ericsson. Yeah. So I thought that was good. The other news for me was Kimi Raikkonen not making out of Q2 while Fernando Alonso continues to be machismo.
Yes, and amazingly, you know, Ricciardo has out-qualified Vettel 7 times this season in 10 races. I mean, who would have really made this call?
And, of course, the big talk in qualifying in Germany is, of course, Lewis Hamilton having that brake failure in Q2, not putting a time, and he will start 16th.
Yeah, and Bottas and Massa continue to do an outstanding job for Team Willy.
Outstanding.
And you know, referring to Kimi's situation, we were so excited him and Nanda going against each other in the same team. This really has turned into like a Finnish Massa situation.
Well, not only that, but the other day when Kimi went out to get into his Ferrari, he noticed, he looked to the left, and it said Rubens Barrichello on it.
Jeez, that was pretty bad. His manager, Steve Robertson, must be asking the new man, Matteucci, what Fisico's manager was asking Flavio, where is the winning car?
I know. But it's going to be okay. Listen, you know what? This is my thing. Kimi Raikkonen probably had been warned that Fernando Alonso is probably not the greatest thing to be teamed up with because he's going to put you down. But listen, I'm happy for Kimi because you know what's going to happen? He's going to retire from Formula One as a Ferrari driver.
Like he cares.
Like he does. Yeah, but it'll look, you know, it's for his mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't care, but yeah, it's done. Kimi's already been talking about rallying. He wants to try the new World X rally.
I got the perfect job for him. Since he's so quiet, Nikola Tort should make him the driver and the spokesperson for Formula E.
Exactly. Where he says nothing.
Formula E.
Mm-hmm. I know. I completely agree. Silence is golden. Also, I want to say that...
By the way, one of my favorites.
One of your favorites?
Silence is golden, but my eyes can still see.
That's a beautiful. Keep up the good work, Nass. But once again, so the pendulum swings. Lewis Hamilton has a problem in qualifying. Nico Rosberg once again on pole. Valtteri Bottas. One of these Williams might make it pole very, very soon. Very impressive stuff. I thought Kevin Magnussen did a good job being on the second row. Daniel Ricciardo, 5th, Vettel, 6th, Alonso, 7th, Kvyat, 8th, Nico Hülkenberg, 9th, and Perez rounds off the top 10. Good qualifying, and you could tell this is going to be a great Grand Prix, but not so great for one individual once again.
Yeah, and I, as soon as he was not on the front row, I said, victory for Nico Rosberg, RG Bargy, and Demolition Derby for his teammate.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but Lewis Hamilton had a change of gearbox, so he started 20th.
Yeah, there was some talk that he might even start from the pit lane.
There was talk about that, but that didn't happen. They went for the grid slot, which I thought was a smart thing to do. And a great start for Lewis Hamilton. This was a great race for Lewis Hamilton. This was a race where he might be able to win this Grand Prix. It looked like, you know, it was possible until he got behind Valtteri Bottas. And to be honest with you, I think Lewis Hamilton is a really nice guy. And that towards the end of this Grand Prix, I started thinking, Lewis, why don't you let Valtteri Bottas get this podium and let him keep second? And I almost looked like that to me. But anyway, the start of the Grand Prix was excellent, except for Kevin Magnussen and Felipe Massa.
Well, Magnussen played Maldonado at the start, and of course, very good to see nobody was hurt. You know, poor Massa, I think this was his like third first lap retirement. He now has a better car since leaving Ferrari, but looks like he left his luck in San Maranello.
I don't know. I thought some of the blame should have also been on Felipe Massa. You know, calling, how did he say it? Oh, another GP2 driver gives me trouble or is causing accidents. I mean, he's claiming that he's just so much more experienced that maybe he shouldn't be involved in these accidents, but he is often. And I thought that it was a racing incident. And when you look at the tape, it looks like Massa sort of cuts into Magnussen. Magnussen really had nowhere to go. So there you have it. That's my tip of the week. I don't think it's fair to call Magnussen a crashado.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Massa is, I mean, you know, he's a good driver. He's done well, and he came through the ranks with very impressive credentials. But, you know, new blood catches up. He's got his hands full with Valtteri Bottas. And who knows, once the McLaren gets going, you know, he might get blown away by Kevin Magnussen.
It's very possible. But I think Felipe Massa on these Grand Prix starts, I know it's a lot of bad luck. The Kimi Raikkonen incident was bad luck. But I think maybe he's just got to get his head straight. I don't know. All I know is Felipe Massa, two races in a row, he's out in the first or second lap. And this is tragedy for the Williams team. They need those points. Those points are millions of dollars.
Yes, and you know, anytime there's a first lap crash, long time ago, long before I even came to the U.S., I was reading an interview with Sam Posey, and he said the first time he drove for Roger Penske, said to him, you know, something like that, be careful at the start because a lot of races are lost on the first lap. And damn few are won. So, I mean, if you have so much experience, you should be able to. A friend of mine who used to race in SCCA once made a comment to me that there is no reason two racing cars should touch each other, which in a perfect world may be the case. But when you're racing in very competitive, high-level racing series, these things will happen. But when you have so much experience, you should. I mean, there's a reason that you don't see Jenson Button and Kimi Raikkonen and Alonso don't get into a lot of trouble. I mean, once in a while, but it's not like three races in five events that they are out on the first lap.
I agree. And my biggest point is Valtteri Bottas went through the field at Silverstone because he's got a great car and a fast car. Felipe Massa knows what he's got under his butt. If he let Magnussen the room to get by, lose the position, you're going to catch him in the next few corners. That's what I don't understand, is let the cars go by, don't get hit, and catch them in the next couple of laps. You've got the car that's capable of doing it.
Well, he's pretty much got a car that is, if he keeps running, he's guaranteed a top five finish.
Exactly. So that's what I don't understand. Don't hit other cars. If we have to, I think they should get those rearview mirrors off the semi-trucks and put them on Felipe Massa's car.
Well, he might need those 7-Eleven corner mirrors.
Yes, the big ones.
Yes,
that's, yeah. So that's my gripe with Felipe Massa. Quit blaming other people and get out of trouble.
You know, he was in Formula One at one time as a teammate to Jacques Villeneuve. And that has been, you know, many, many maple sit-ups ago. You know what I'm saying?
God, what team was that?
Sauber.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember. They were both Sauber boys.
Yeah, and I remember when Massa came early on, he was kind of like Maldonado. He was quick, but, you know, crash prone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now it's just, you know, like the Barrichello situation. Time has caught up to him. He's at the tail end of his career. And he's got you haven't used the word for Bottas, whippersnapper.
I haven't.
Yeah,
I'm cutting down on whippersnapper. So Felipe Massa's out, but still watching the great drive by Lewis Hamilton in this race was just fantastic. Once again, Fernando Alonso, and this time the Fernando Alonso and Daniel Ricciardo fight was talked about days after the Grand Prix.
Yeah, very, very impressive by both of them.
Not only that, but no crashing.
Yeah.
It was wheel to wheel, but for some reason, some professionals can do that without causing chaos.
Very true.
And I'm telling you, Massa seems to be incapable of doing that. I can remember races a few years ago where Massa's getting in trouble. Massa getting in trouble earlier in the season, crashing, a lap before the end of the race, losing all those points. He is not getting the big picture. Lewis Hamilton does. People like him do. Felipe Massa is tainted. He's tainted, I'm telling you.
Remember some years ago when him and Lewis had many, many coming together?
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. But you know what? My favorite Massa moment is when he spun five times in the rain at Silverstone.
Oh, the pirouettes.
Yeah, and then after that, he said he's a very good rain driver in the rain.
Yes, yes. He called himself Meister Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not Rainmeister. So, yeah, very interesting stuff. I certainly enjoyed this Grand Prix. Vettel finishing ahead of Daniel Ricciardo this time. And I thought the Red Bull Renault looked pretty strong. I was impressed, and I think Renault has brought in a new software package, and I think it's helping. I think towards the end of the season, we may even see a Vettel win if, of course, Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton have a little tussle. I'd like to see Kimi Raikkonen finish in the top five. He just can't. He's just, I mean, once again, he's out of the points in this Grand Prix. Kimi Raikkonen, you know, he's going to deserve this break after Hungary.
Well, I would love to see him win a race, and then I cannot wait for the podium interview.
Yes, of course. But I hate to say it, but we're not going to see Kimi Raikkonen on the podium this season. We may not see Fernando Alonso on the podium this season. With the Williams doing as well as they are, Red Bull is ahead of Ferrari and the Mercedes. Fernando's out.
Yeah, we might see Nico Hülkenberg on the podium the way things are going.
Perhaps, but Force India has made progress, but sometimes one step forward, two steps back. I'm not sure there. Hülkenberg deserves a better ride. I hope he gets something better next year. We'll see what happens. And we really didn't talk about Lotus signing with a Mercedes power plant.
Yes, and yeah, that should be good. And yeah, there's also some talk that Eric Bouyer may try to get his boy Romain Grosjean to McLaren. I don't see that happening.
I don't know. And this team just doesn't have enough resources. But, of course, McLaren, who is going to go to Honda next year, Mercedes had extra engines to go to a team. So I think this will work. But for me, you know, Lotus Renault, you know, this used to be Benetton. This used to be Tolman. My heart is broken.
Yeah, it will come together soon when Nando wins a race. One thing I want to say about, you know, this Caterham team got sold to a mysterious Swiss and Middle Eastern consortium, and with Christian Albers and Chowski.
Yeah, and Christian Albers will be the team principal. This is very interesting stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I thought there was some serious money coming in, and now they're signing drivers to their driver development program that you may have never even heard of them. So I think it's just, we have a seat, how much money do you have? One of those situations, unfortunately.
We don't know who this conglomerate is. It's going to be low budget. We'll see what happens. It won't be called Caterham next year. I don't know what it's going to be called. Who knows? That's a strange circumstance right now. They're always going to be in the back for the next few seasons. I'm surprised some of these teams continue to exist. These teams are closer to HRT than anybody else for me.
Yeah, and you know, there was even some talk and comments made by Bernie Ecclestone that, you know, it could be better to have top teams with three cars each, which, you know, if you look at it, it's not a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I say bring back the spare car. Just for Felipe.
Yeah, just for Felipe. Enter two cars for Felipe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do that, I don't know, but then I'm old-fashioned. So anyway, let's get back to this Grand Prix. I really enjoyed the German Grand Prix. The German Grand Prix has offered us some great stuff. I remember Mark Webber taking a penalty and winning this Grand Prix. This is a good Grand Prix. I enjoyed it, and I was happy for Nico Rosberg winning in front of the fatherland.
Yes, that was very impressive, and, you know, drive by Lewis was very good.
Very impressive.
You know, the battles we are seeing in different races are very good. And as far as, shall I give the championship points, sir?
Yes, but I do want to mention Jenson Button criticizing Lewis Hamilton. I thought that was a little out there when their wings touched and Lewis Hamilton lost some of his end plate. And Jenson Button said, I just don't understand what he's thinking.
Yeah, so. But then he tweeted and took a few steps back on that. He's saying he now understands he overreacted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't check my tweets.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Please continue.
Okay. So anyway, standings. Nico Rosberg leading the way with 190 points. Teammate Lewis Hamilton second with 176. So not big difference there, which is good. Third man is Daniel Ricciardo on 106 points. Not surprisingly, Nando is fourth with 97 points. And here is the shocker. Completing the top five is Valtteri Bottas on 91 points.
Wow.
Just six behind Nando. Constructors, this is a one-horse race, and it's not Italian stallion prancing at the front. We have the Star of Stuttgart shining brightly over Brackley next to a Tesco supermarket. Mercedes leading 366 points to 188 over Red Bull. Williams is third on 121 points. Ferrari fourth with 116. And Force India completes the top five with 98 points. Final thoughts on the German Grand Prix from you, sir, before we go into GP2?
I liked it. It was good. I was predicting that Nico Rosberg would win since Lewis Hamilton won the previous race, and that's what I think we're going to be seeing continuously. I think as we go into Hungary, I think now Lewis Hamilton has the edge. He likes Hungary. This is going to be tit for tat.
Well, let me ask your favorite questions. Any predictions?
My predictions for Hungary?
Yes, top three, please.
You ready?
See.
I predict that Felipe Massa is going to win.
Wow, that's good.
Yep, Lewis Hamilton second, Valtteri Bottas P3, gearbox problems for Rosberg.
Okay, very interesting.
Thank you very much.
Okay, from gearbox, we go to GP2 at Hockenheim Ring. Championship leader Jolyon Palmer took pole and finished third in the race. Belgian rookie Stoffel Vandoorne was second, and a very impressive drive by Mitch Evans of New Zealand to win the race. Sunday's wet-dry race was won by Stefano Coletti with Felipe Nasr second and Vandoorne again on the podium, this time in third place. By the way, Stoffel Vandoorne, just like Magnussen, is also in the McLaren driver development program, and so is Nyck de Vries, who was a karting phenom some years ago. Mm-hmm. But he is now trying to win the Formula Renault 2-liter series in his third season, so I have some concerns there. But we wish everybody all the best. American racer from California, Alexander Rossi, has departed from the Caterham GP2 team following change of ownership and did a one-off deal with Campos Racing but did not finish the feature race. He was seventh in Sunday's sprint race. GP3, maiden victory for local boy Marvin Kirschhofer over Alex Lynn of UK. On Sunday, we had another first-time winner, Jan Martinborough of UK, and fellow Brit Dino Zamparelli was second. And you know, this kid, Jan Martinborough, is a very interesting situation. Some years ago, he won this online racing championship, gaming or whatever it is called. And then as part of that package, he was brought into motor racing on the track, courtesy of Nissan. And I'm very happy to see that he has won a race. And he's done pretty well in other series. And like Lewis Hamilton, he is also mixed race. Championship leader with 110 points is Alex Lynn, who is also from Chollyoll, England. He has wings these days, courtesy of Red Bull, and won on his debut in the series at Barcelona. Always a sign of things to come, and that's what they said when Giancarlo Baghetti outdragged Dan Gurney at Reims to win the 1961 French Grand Prix in his Formula One debut. So you can have a lot of promises, and sometimes promises go down the drain.
Boy, that drain can capture a lot of dreams.
Oh, yeah, it has over the years. That's for sure. I'm surprised we don't have Drano as a sponsor for Caterham or Marussia.
You never know. I'm working on it, Nasser.
There you go.
Yeah, keep up the good work. Thanks for all that good stuff. I know we had Motorsports Mondial blended in with our coverage of these Grand Prix. I'm looking forward to Hungary, but I'm also looking forward to Tech Talk with Tim now.
Greetings, petrolheads. Today, I'm here to discuss the lifeblood of every Formula One engine, fuel. F1 fuel, according to Formula1.com, is, quote, surprisingly close to the composition of ordinary, commercially available petrol. Another interesting fact on the website states, quote, it was not always so. Early Grand Prix cars ran on a fierce mixture of powerful chemicals and additives, often featuring large quantities of benzene, alcohol, and aviation fuel. Indeed, some early fuels were so potent that the car's engine had to be disassembled and washed in ordinary petrol at the end of the race to prevent the mixture from corroding it. Since modern Formula One fuel and everyday passenger car fuel are so similar, we can talk about both. One question you might have about fuel is, at the pump, what do the different numbers mean? Great question. This requires a little background information first. Racing and passenger car engines are called four-stroke engines. A stroke refers to the motion of a piston in a cylinder, either up or down, and in a four-stroke engine, the piston moves up and down twice per cycle. The first stroke is called the intake stroke. The piston moves down, creating open space inside the cylinder, which is filled with air and fuel. The open space inside the cylinder is called displacement, and an engine's displacement is simply the volume multiplied by the number of cylinders in the engine. Next, during the compression stroke, the piston moves back up and compresses the air-fuel mixture. This compressed mixture is then ignited, forcing the piston back down during the power stroke. Finally, the piston returns upward and forces the exhaust gases out of the cylinder during the exhaust stroke. At that point, the cycle repeats and another intake stroke begins. So ignition happens once every other downward stroke in a four-stroke engine. In high-performance engines, the fuel-air mixture is compressed to a very high degree, which is known as a high compression ratio in engineering terms. High compression means maximum power for a given engine displacement, which is important in racing because displacement is often limited, for example, to 1.6 liters in Formula One. But high compression ratios are challenging for an important reason. When put under high compression, a fuel-air mixture may ignite without a spark. Normally, the spark plug creates ignition as the piston is moving downward. But if ignition occurs prior to the spark plug firing, during the compression stroke, the piston will still be traveling upward and the force of the ignited mixture will be pushing against the motion of the piston. This is obviously counterproductive. To prevent ignition during the compression stroke, a fuel must be used which is more difficult to light on fire. This doesn't mean that the fuel provides less power as it burns, but rather that there is a higher threshold of pressure and heat needed to set the fuel on fire, so that the spark plug drives ignition, not compression of the fuel and air. The measure of difficulty in igniting the fuel is measured in the octane rating, which is a number you've seen if you've ever been to a gas station, which you have. This value ranks the compressibility of a fuel on a scale from 0, which corresponds to pure N-heptane, to 100, which corresponds to pure isooctane. Octane ratings above 100 are possible with additional additives. I'll leave you to research most of the details on your own, but heptanes have 7 carbon atoms per molecule, while octanes have 8, and molecules with fewer carbon atoms typically combust more easily, which is why a fuel closer in performance to pure octane will prevent early combustion better than one performing like heptane. So what does this mean for you at the pump? Well, if you drive a car that places the fuel-air mixture under high compression, you'll need a high octane fuel to prevent your ignition from occurring early and working against the motion of the piston. In an engine with a lower compression, a lower octane, more easily combustible fuel is just fine. High-octane fuel will still work, but you're paying extra for purity that your engine doesn't need. In F1 fuels, the octane rating is very highly monitored to achieve consistency. A lot of engine development is concentrated on timing the ignition at a precise instant to extract maximum energy from the fuel and convert it to mechanical energy. By my calculations, there are about 60,000 ignitions per engine per lap. Variations in octane mean that the timing cannot be perfect. And as we all know, when the difference between a poor lap and a spectacular lap is a fraction of a second, any deficiency in those 60,000 ignitions could spell disaster. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and this is Tim reminding you to enjoy octane responsibly.
Tim, thanks for another outstanding Tech Talk. And now I'm going to read 50 words on the British Grand Prix. Kehe Sin. Cue jubilation from the crowd as Rosberg rues an absence of gears. And Hamilton says, thanks awfully, old chap, and takes the win. Meanwhile, in the non-Merck area of the field, Vettel and Alonso play the pit radio game and tell everyone how unfair the other is. All in all, a good time being had by all, except Rosberg and Kimi, and Massa. Neon Zapper, Silverstone was a very exciting race. In the beginning, Kimi's season sadly continued to fall apart in a splendor of debris which caught Felipe about 200 yards into his 200th race. By the middle of the race, the cameras were only on Alonso, reminding Vettel about the Abu Dhabi race for the championship as Fernando pulled a Vitaly Petrov on Sebastian. And in the end, an emotional crowd watched as Jenson Button nearly landed on the podium as he crossed the checkered flag. Dr. Mark F., terrifying first lap incident as Kimi clips a Silverstone rainwater gully and starts doing widths. Fortunately, it didn't spoil an exciting race, full of incidents and action throughout the field. Repeated 175 miles per hour passes on the outside at Stowe and Copes as Bottas and Alonso show balls of steel. And fine drives by Button and also Rosberg before the Stuttgart Gremlins level the score. Seb's toy hit the tarmac again. A shame we missed the pleasure of seeing Lewis doing it on track, but 90% of the crowd went home pleased. Philip Pegler, I'm starting to wonder if the racing gods have decided it's time for Kimi to step away. It seems to be one incident after another. Sometimes there are just, well, signs. An amazing performance by Williams' Valtteri Bottas, who drives as if he's got a lifetime of Grand Prix racing experience. An honorable mention for Jenson Button. Life in Woking can be no fun at this time. Hopefully, he'll have the chance to finish on a high with the Honda partnership. On to the Hockenheimring, a circuit that was Tinker size in 2002. Mon Dieu, c'est un tragédie magnifique. And Desiree says, Kimi is retiring at season's end. And now, 50 words on the German Grand Prix. From Ye, fantastic race, wouldn't want Massa luck. Why is Alonso's onboard camera covered with a black dot interference while others are not? I smell a conspiracy. Tricky Dicky, another dominant race for Mercedes. Rosberg takes an easy win over the two Williams cars. Hamilton manages damage limitation with a well-worked strategy. While the weather was a concern, it had little impact on the overall outcome of the race. Hülkenberg once again impresses. Magnussen outperforms Button. When will Alonso get a championship-winning car? Vettel moans too much, and the RBR is clearly curtailed by the suspension changes. Neon Zapper, Lewis Hamilton's Silver Arrow was back in form as it sped from P20 to P3, but Nico Rosberg had all the luck needed in a fast car. Leon Bray, great racing. Lewis carving his way from 20th to 3rd demonstrated how dominant the Mercedes is. Even with a broken front wing, Ricciardo versus Alonso for many laps was great to watch and lots of passing outside the DRS zone. There was so much happening throughout the field that Nico got about 2 minutes of TV coverage for the whole race. Poor old Felipe can't get a break. And finally from Wraith Hump, great drives by Hamilton, Bottas, Ricciardo, Alonso, and Hülkenberg. Bernie, can you create a rule where the Mercedes cars have to start at the rear of the field for the rest of the season? And there you have it. Outstanding stuff. Goodies always from the F1 Weekly Forum. So, Nass, there you have it. Another outstanding podcast. Once again, sorry for taking so long to publish this thing.
And, you know, talking of Tricky Dicky, I'd just like to say hi to him, and I hope he is enjoying the summer in English Midlands and not hanging out in Malvinas or Mesopotamia.
Wow. I didn't know you and Tricky were so close.
Well, it's all one big familia, you know.
That's true. I put out there a kumbaya to everyone.
Oh, wow.
There you go, Nass. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.